I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Last Sunday, I touched on this thought, actually the last couple Sundays. The proof is in the trusting. The proof is in the trusting. Believing in God, believing in Jesus, believing in the Holy Spirit is demonstrated by our trusting. Last week, the ruler in Luke chapter 18 believed in God. He believed that Jesus was the great teacher and asked Jesus the great question about eternal life. Oh, and yes, he had kept some of the commandments. But when Jesus showed him that he had an idol in his life, it was his things, his stuff, his possessions, the ruler went away sad. The quest for the answer to eternal life had been given to him, but he didn't like the answer. He didn't like the answer that Jesus, the great teacher, gave to him. And it came to my mind a couple weeks ago, why is it in life so often we look for the easy, we want the easy way? You know, this ruler, when he went and stood with Jesus, I'm going to guess, if he's like me, he probably had a predetermined list of answers that he would accept. Okay, Jesus, what should I do? What do I need to do for eternal life? And I believe that this young ruler had sat down and made his little list of maybe three or four possible answers that Jesus would come up with. And if it's one, two, three, or four, we got this, I can do those, and we're good. We're good to go. Well, that's not where Jesus went with the answer, was it? And so Jesus pointed at an idol in his life and said, that's the key. Get rid of that stuff. And then come follow me. Oops. That wasn't on his list. So he went away sad. We're looking for easy ways out, right? Aren't we all in life? We're looking for conveniences. How many of you have a microwave? Why do you have a microwave? They're bad for you. No, they're not, but that's okay. Aren't we looking for conveniences? Air conditioning? How many have air conditioning? In the summer, you don't open the windows anymore. You just turn the air conditioner on. We get in our cars. I can remember the day, and you can, some of you can too, when air conditioning was an option on a car. Today it's standard. I don't know if you could buy a car without it. It's always there. We're looking for convenience. We're looking for the easy way out. Well, I will say again that the ruler was looking for the easy answer. And Jesus said, in life, there are some difficult answers to the questions that we have. How many of you are glad that we have a sound system? The conveniences of life. If we didn't have a sound system, you'd have to sit up front. Or would you? I don't know. But just another example of us looking for things that we can fit into. We like it our way. We've got it kind of planned out. As long as everything kind of fits the way we want it, that's good. Let's get on with it. Let's do it. Well, being a Christian isn't always easy. And if you think being a Christian is always easy, you might not be one. Okay? Just contemplate that thought. If you think that being a Christian is easy, you just might not be one. Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. That's Jesus Christ, God's Son, telling his disciples, hey guys, ladies, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. But then Jesus said, Don't worry about that, because I'm the great overcomer. Death is your enemy, and that will be conquered. Fear not. Well, do you believe in God when life is easy, when it's trouble-free, when it's automatic? What do you do when there's trouble in your life? You have a bad day. You're sick. Something's going wrong. Sad to say, too many of us begin to doubt God. The devil comes alongside and you get convinced that God doesn't love you anymore. God isn't even real. Holy Spirit is always there to walk with us and to comfort us. Believing in Jesus, in God, is proven in the come follow me. From last Sunday's passage, from Luke 18, come follow me. Your believing comes at the point, we had a pastor, Roger Manning, he was an old General Motors engineer person, and his favorite phrase was, where the rubber meets the road. And so he would get to a point in a sermon like this, and he would say, believing in Christ, the come follow me, comes at the point where the rubber meets the road. It means where you get down to business. Okay, you're not just a tire spinning in the air, but when the tire makes contact with the road and you're going to go somewhere, that's where the believing, that's where the trust comes into play. Well, your statement of believing in God, do you believe in God today? Do you believe in God today? It is proven when you make that statement, it's proven when we hold fast to God. And that's the essence of Psalm 23. It's on that board in the back. If you want to read that, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, one of my favorite stories of this whole event in life is found in Daniel chapter 3. It's a story of three Hebrew men. It's a story of King Nebuchadnezzar. The children of Israel, the Hebrews, have been taken captive and they're in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar is the king, and he has a pretty big ego, and things are happening, and he's feeling really good about his kingdom, Babylon. And here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it is their story. The king makes an idol. And Scripture tells us that it's 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. And it's made out of gold. It'd be pretty nice. Downtown we have the Indian statue. Downtown. So 90 feet, that statue is only about 16, 17 feet tall, maybe 20. So take that about four and a half times, and you might come up with, you know, something that's 90 feet, 9 feet wide. Pretty impressive what the king did. Well, the king in his essence of his power, the ego that he had, he said he put out an edict to all of the people that there was going to be the orchestra that's going to be present, and they're going to have a big celebration. Now, he put this statue out on the plain, so everybody could see it. 90 feet tall, gold. Can you imagine the sun hitting that? Well, when the orchestra was to start playing, everybody was supposed to bow and worship that idol statue. Well, Hebrews, these young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a decision to make. They believed in God. And now they were being challenged to bow down and worship an idol. An idol. What would you do? What would you do? Well, they decided not to bow down and worship the idol. This got the king really upset. He couldn't believe that somebody would not want to worship him. And he had a furnace. He had an oven ready. If you didn't bow down, he would throw you in this furnace. Just think about the peer pressure of that event. And they decided that they wouldn't bow down. The king came back to them because he liked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were some important people to him. And he gave them a second opportunity. He said, "Hey, come on. We're going to do this over again. I'm going to give you another opportunity to bow down to the idol and worship. And if you don't, I'm going to throw you in the furnace." They played the music. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down. The king told them to make the fire in the furnace 7 times hotter. Just do the math on that. Just think about it. Could you take a 700-degree oven and make it 4,900 degrees? That's some serious wood or fuel, whatever they were doing with it. But anyway, they're going to make it hotter. The king wanted death to be instant. You're done. Well, the boys didn't bow down, the young men didn't bow down, and so the king said, "Throw them in the fire." And so there they are in the fire. What do you see there? What do you see in the fire? Huh? 4. And that's exactly what the king said. Let me read this for you. You know, as a little boy, my grandmother would she had a 13, 14 volume Bible story things. You remember those little green books? I mean, there were books about so thick. There were 13 of them. And my grandmother, she was a great, sort of like my mom, a great talker, a great, she would add her own spice to the story. And this was absolutely one of my favorite stories to hear my grandma read this. But it's just a staggering to me, an amazing story. Let me just read it for you. You can look at that picture. Let me read from Daniel chapter 3. Beginning at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not," this is the clincher. This is just so, get this. They're saying, even king, even if he does not, even if we get thrown in that furnace and we're going to die, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Get that? I can still see myself, my grandmother, reading this story. And okay, boys, because it'd be my older brother, typically the two of us. And he was a stinker. I was okay. But anyway, she wanted us to make sure that we got this. That we got this. In life, you're going to have difficult decisions to make. You're going to face challenges. Look in the face of it. And even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his armies to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think about that. Now, 2 years ago, the fire department let me go into a house that they were burning down. I'm kneeling on the floor, and they had a guy with me, and he's telling me, he's talking to me, and he gave me a thermal imaging thing. He said, just point it at the floor. And the floor was about 125 degrees. And in the gear, I really didn't feel anything. And then all of a sudden, my mask fogged up, I thought. I took my hand and wiped it, and it wasn't. It was smoke. It was so dense, I couldn't see my hand right there. Then he said to me, he said, take that and point it at the ceiling. I pointed the gun at the ceiling, and the heat at the ceiling was about 750 degrees. He said, that's why you don't want to stand up in a fire. Don't stand up in a fire. One inhaling of that super heat, and you're done. Imagine, seven times hotter than normal. That's pretty hot. And it was so hot that the men that carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up there and threw them into this furnace, into this oven, they died. They died. I wouldn't want to be there. Well, back to the scripture. The king's command was so urgent that the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men firmly died, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement. Just think about what God can do for you. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Isn't it amazing the king's attitude, how quickly it changed? He knows he'd run into a wall. He wasn't as great as he thought he was. Anyway, come out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the peoples of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be burned into piles of rubble. For no other god can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Oh, I just relived my childhood. That is a good thing. Well, what should we learn from this event? What's the takeaway, modern phraseology, from this event? If there isn't a takeaway, if there isn't something that you can apply to your own life, then it's just a nice story in the Old Testament, right? And I think my grandmother, in reading this, she always wanted us to, she would say it, I want you to know the God of the story. Don't just know the story. Know the God of the story. That's the key. Because that's your God. If you say that you worship God, you need to know the God of the story. Just don't know the story. Know the God of the story. So what are some things that we can take away from this story in Daniel, in the element of the proof of your belief is in your trusting? Well, trust is number one. What do you trust? What do you say that you trust in? Okay? You say God. And that's a good answer. Okay? Then what happens when there's pressure? And yes, there will be pressure. Peer pressure. Someone coming alongside you and saying, you really don't believe that crazy stuff, do you? Or maybe they will use an example in their life of a death of a family member, maybe even something that they're facing, and they'll say, you know, well, if God really loved me, then why this? Those are tough questions. But you always have to come back to this point of, I trust, I trust, I trust, I believe. And my proof of my believing in God, saying that I believe in God, is that I trust God. So when that peer pressure comes alongside you, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three guys not kneeling down to the idol, and knowing that death was waiting for them, that's some pretty good pressure, right? I mean, it's happening in the world today. Persecution of Christians, persecution of God's church is happening in the world today. For the most part, we in America don't need to worry about that. But as a chaplain in the community, probably 3 or 4 years ago, Pastor Paul and myself went to Bloomington for a day's seminar and telling us what to watch for, what to look for, and safety in the church. Because there are churches and areas in the country where persecution of Christians is a real thing. What would you do if somebody walked in the back with a gun pointed at you and said, do you believe in God? If you say no, you can walk out that door. If you say yes, well, you're done. That's peer pressure. Do you really believe what you say you believe in? Trust. Peer pressure. Then we have to go to the promises of God. God's promises are always better than man's promises. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You read your Bible and you come across a promise. In the back of my Bible, there's a section that says promises. God's promise of love, forgiveness, salvation. There's a whole list. And there's a list of God's promises when I feel guilty, when I feel dejected, when I feel in despair. All of those promises of Scripture. Do I really believe those promises? Do you really believe those promises? Well, the proof of saying that you believe in God is found in the trust that overcomes the pressure, and we lean on the promises. Oh, there's some pretty good hymns about leaning on the promises of God. But do you really, really, really believe that? When you get to that point, protection. God protected Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. What an amazing miracle that was. But I love their words when they said, even O king, if God doesn't save us from the fire, God will save us. God's got us. Isn't that great? Do you believe that? That's protection, ultimate protection. Jesus Christ is the great overcomer. He died on the cross for you. He was raised from the dead so that we can experience that resurrection for ourselves. God's protection is perfect. God will always be praised. King Nebuchadnezzar, before this event, he was king. He had a huge ego. Of course, he was the king of the greatest kingdom of the Middle East of its time. But he was humbled when God kept his promises. And the trust of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was proven out that God is God. Believe in God. Trust in Him. The Old Testament, the Bible is full of these kinds of stories. Daniel chapter 6. Story of Daniel in the lion's den. Different circumstances, but similar events. Trust. Daniel trusted in God. He prayed. Pressure. King signed an edict saying anybody that's praying to any other god other than the God he had would be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel knew the promises of God. He leaned on those promises for protection. And at the end of the story, you know the end of the story, Daniel was saved. Those who didn't like Daniel were thrown into the lion's den. End of story, but God was praised. It is the story of all who believe, all who trust in God. Noah. You know the story of Noah? Same kind of thing. God said, build an ark. What's that? Well, I'll give you the instructions. You just do it. He did it. Took him a long time. Pressure. Bible tells us that his friends and neighbors laughed at him. Promise. Protection. God was praised. Jonah. Moses. The Bible is full of these kinds of stories of people saying they believe in God, Again, that's easy. Say you believe in God. But then the proof of that statement, the proof of your believing in God, comes in the element of trusting. It was good for those people of the Old Testament. It was good for my grandparents. It's good for my mom. It was good for my dad. It's good for me. It's good for me. Oh, and by the way, it was good for Jesus Christ, God's Son, too. Just think about Jesus. He trusted in God, his Heavenly Father. It's recorded for us that he says, I do nothing, I say nothing that my Heavenly Father doesn't tell me to say and to do. That's trust, right? That's trust. Trust. Telling his disciples that he's going to be killed. What? They didn't like that. They didn't want that to happen. But that's trusting Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, trusting in the Father. I know this is going to happen to me, Father, but I'm trusting. Peer pressure? Sure, the trial in front of Pilate. The Jewish leaders of the day are the ones that wanted him killed. That's some serious peer pressure. Promise? Jesus knew that God, his Father, had said, I will raise you in the third day. Now that's some great faith. That's some great, great faith. Protection. Yes, Jesus died. So did Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. So did Daniel. So did Moses. Jonah. But God's promise of eternal life was experienced by all of them. All of them. Their belief was proven by their trusting. So let me just ask you a question this morning. What are you up against? What's the life challenge that's in front of you? The spiritual challenge, the thing that's standing in your way. Are you just believing in God? You just say, yeah, I believe in God. But yet there's something there. There's something that's holding you back. Where is that pressure? Where is the peer pressure in your life? The pressure is there as a challenge to your element of trust, that element of faith. And we can sometimes even get to the point of doubting the promises of God. But that's where we need each other. That's where we need each other to reassure each other. I enjoy having lunch with Kevin once in a while. Coffee with the men that come on Saturday morning to pray. Because we have conversation about God in our life. And if I or one of the other men say something about, well, I've really faced a tough time and I'm not sure about this or that, we can encourage each other. We can come around each other and say, yes, God's promise is true. Hold on to it. So easy to become discouraged in the world that we live in. But it's a great challenge. It's a great challenge. We must encourage each other to be strong, to stand, to believe, and to trust. What are you facing today? What are the challenges? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I don't think any of us will face that challenge today or tomorrow. Okay? But it may be just some small, subtle thing that comes along. And you go, wow, God, is that really you? I invite you to stand this morning. Where's your trusting? Where's your level of trusting? Again, I will say it's easy to say, I believe. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Yep, we believe in God. But then God put this amazing hot furnace and an ego-crazy king in their way, and they had to make a decision. Where are you in life? The little things in life. The decision that you have to make. Follow God. Trust. Believe. Trust. Believe. Your belief will be seen in your trusting. And it will be seen by your friends, it will be seen by your family, that you trust in God. Give it to Him today. Whatever it is, I invite you to pray. Pray. Say, God, what are the disciples? Timothy or Doubting Thomas. Help my unbelief. Eliminate my unbelief. Strengthen my faith, God. Let that be your prayer today. Father, we stand before you this morning as human beings. In many ways, we are no different than Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. We're no different than Daniel. We are no different than the disciples who said that they believe in God, but then, oh, the peer pressures of life, the events of life, challenge that statement. And Father, they and us, we need to trust. We need to hold on to the truth of Scripture, the promises that you give to us. And so, Father, today, I'm sure there are some amongst us who are facing the challenges of life, things that would challenge their statement of belief in you. But help us to know that Jesus Christ, your Son, is the great overcomer. To put our strength, our trust, the things that we hold on to, let them be found in Scripture. Trusting in you. Trusting in you. And Father, we know that you hear our prayers. We know that you will answer our prayers. Let us be a body of encouragers. Let us come alongside each other to encourage each other. Father, let our statement of believing in you be seen in our trust. We trust you. We believe in you. We trust you. Let it be seen and heard in us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go and be that blessing to someone. They need it. Oh, we're going to have a supper. I should have announced that.
March 17th.
No, the supper is on the...
Oh, on the 10th. Okay.
11th.
We'll get it right, yeah.
They're all handled.
Second Wednesday of the month.
Okay.
Give me that. Thank you.